Cool. All right. Well, so we'll talk to them.
We'll find out all about it later in the show. We'll be talking to Gail Gand. You know her. She's the James Beard Award-winning chef. She's co-founder of the world-renowned restaurant True. And she is going to be talking about lunch, which may not sound too exciting. But if you think about it, we all don't think how much we really need to have a good, healthy lunch. She's got a great book, and she's going to talk us through it. And also, do you know that the Fine Arts Festival, Northern Virginia's Fine Arts Festival, is coming up 5/16 to 18 in Reston?
I do know.
No, you know now.
Because I'm doing a show.
Right. There are over 200 juried artists, and lucky us, Holly McCullough, the executive director of the Reston Greater Arts Center, is in. She's going to tell us all about it. We're going to get a little culture in studio.
This radio, she looks very artistic, I'm going to say. So Red Hen is one of my absolute all-time favorite restaurants in town. Sebastian Zutant and Mike Freeman have a gem over in Bloomingdale, and I'm not afraid to say it. And Mike's in today. They're going to be celebrating their first birthday, and he's got some. He brought in some cool food.
Yes, he did.
And we're going to be talking about that. And Red Light is a new cocktail and dessert bar down on R Street. I think it's, what, 14th and R?
14th and R.
And Ari and Michael Wilder, are regulars on this show, I guess, curated.
They haven't been in a while. It's been a while.
Well, they just sobered up. I mean, they, you know. But they're in to talk about the bar, the cocktail program, and Robert Underwood, who's the pastry chef there, and you guys might, listening out there, might remember him from Comey and a couple of other places, is in, too, and he brought in good stuff that I'm not supposed to eat as well.
Because it's all about you.
It is all about Mike and Ari. Red Light opened beginning of April, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so give us the 411 on what's happening at Red Light.
It's a cocktail, dessert, champagne bar.
Okay.
With a really big
say
patio.
No more.
Exactly. the idea was to do, from the culinary side, was to, instead of the pastry program being the ugly stepchild in, like, most restaurants, it became the elevated forefront of the concept, and then we paired cocktails and champagne with his desserts to make a nice, and we have a few bar bites, but primarily amazing decadent desserts and cocktails and champagne.
Well, actually, in other cities, there are lots of places to go for dessert, but there's nothing like that here in D.C. There's not a lot of places that people can go after dinner for dessert. Like, Philly has tons of dessert places,
yeah,
New York
does,
San Fran.
Right.
So this is a really interesting idea. Chef, why don't you come up to the mic and tell us a little bit about how came about putting some of the dessert concepts together.
I think that, like you said, there isn't really a lot of options for that in D.C., but we were inspired by a couple of places that we went to in New York. Particularly, one of my favorites is Chickalicious.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the pastry kitchen out front. And so the idea was to kind of put on a show while people are coming and having their desserts and their cocktails. And it's kind of a late night spot because it's a lot of restaurants on the street where people are going to have their dinner or their brunch, and then they come over after that.
Cool. And how do you guys all work together to do cocktails and desserts together?
We're really close-knit family.
Okay.
Rob, we've been working on our relationship.
Chef, did you grow up in Bethesda too?
I did not.
And you got thrown out of school with these guys?
No. You had to bring
it up. I know the whole story.
That's why we haven't been back.
You have
in
a new
while.
Haircut since the last
See?
Time I saw you.
It's all this personal information we don't want our parents to hear.
You're trying to look like a grown up now. I'm looking at you.
No, the bar, the way that it was set up, the dessert bar is on display. Actually, the dessert bar is bigger than the actual bar itself. For once, so he's on display as well as the bar, Mike and myself doing the cocktails. So we work together.
Great. Tell us what you poured first.
We're doing one of our tap cocktails. We do three cocktails on tap. We call them the Three Horsemen. This is one. It's one of the oldest cocktails in America. It's a Sazerac. Mm-hmm. We make it with rye, Peychaud's bitters, and our own Wilder Bros orange peel gum.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hit it with some burnt orange peel. And it comes right out of our tap. And there's a rinse of absinthe as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
Well,
it's really good. It's really good for breakfast.
For a minute, I just saw God, and I was thinking that.
Now you're tasting it.
I'm tasting it. All right. So while we're all sipping this, let's talk to Matt and Corey Wallace about chups.
Yeah.
What up with chups? So why are you so ketchup-centric? Was this like a childhood thing where you used to play in the ketchup, or?
I love ketchup. I used to put it on my Fruit Loops, but
oh, stop! You did
you
not.
Really.
I think once.
Okay.
I think,
there's a word we're not allowed to say, so I'll say no S. Really? Really?
Yeah. Seriously. I think my parents put the kibosh on that.
Right. Yeah,
and well, they should have. Did they chain you to the wall or anything?
Well, so let's talk about it. How did you come up with this concept? I mean, you're both young, you're entrepreneurial spirit. Why go with a fruit ketchup? Where'd
that
you come up
like
with
Mr.
it?
Sounds like Mr. Smithers. Hello, young go-getters.
Except I don't sound anything like that. Go ahead.
We made a batch in our kitchen, just a one-off. We made turkey burgers and cherry ketchup. And
Matt's a really good cook, and sauce is one of his specialties. He makes great barbecue sauce, everything. And just one night, we had a bunch of cherries that we needed to get rid of. And so he looked up some stuff online and was like, let's make cherry ketchup. And it was delicious. And we started doing research, and we were like, let's run with this.
I mean, are there people... Are there other companies? Do you have competition?
There's one other woman in L.A. that's doing a similar thing.
Okay.
But, when we started, we were the only ones.
And how did you come about your recipes? I mean, what kind of research did you do? And how did you decide on some of your flavors?
We wanted to do, you know, a range of flavors. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of... It worked out to what was available.
But isn't it kind of old school? I mean, Heinz kind of drove the tomato ketchup thing. But before that, people were making, basically, it's a sauce for, you know, meats and stuff.
Condiment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really wanted to kind of variety back to, it's the only condiment that doesn't have variety. Mayo, mustard, they all have different flavors. And and we started doing the research. We found out that it was really interesting. And the history of ketchup is very, it's, people don't realize that it used to be all these different flavors. So, we started to see that a lot of chefs had been doing it, and it's, but it hadn't really been made available to the general public. So we're like, we feel like the timing's right. Food is such a, the culture of food is so big, and people are really excited about it too. So.
Well, but then you launched into doing your own business. I mean, how did you navigate the field with the, you know, you're jarring these things, and I mean, there's
still
a lot.
Navigating.
And you're at Union Kitchen,
yeah,
right? Navigating.
Yeah, we are. We just got in Union Kitchen, the food incubator, 2 months ago.
Yeah, and, we had Janice in studio. I mean, they're very cool.
So
people.
Amazing, so
right.
Smart.
The energy there is incredible.
Right.
So.
And they've really helped us. Just they help from everything, like getting the proper licensing to helping you with your business and ideas and how to promote it and everything. So they're fabulous.
And how did you use the Kickstarter to start off your business?
So we raised over $22,000 on Kickstarter.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, that really showed us that people are into the idea, and you know, majority of the people that donated we've never met, have no idea who they are.
That's amazing.
But it's also a great way to get your friends and family, too. Instead of just going and hitting them up for money, like, we put together, like, a nice video, and they get stuff for it. You give them rewards. They get you know, lots of sample packs and things like that.
So. Well, let's talk about... Andy, how much time do we have left?
Lots of time.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the flavors you brought in today.
Yeah, so we have 5 flavors that we do year-round. Blueberry, cherry, peach, mango, and plum. We do cranberry around the holidays, which makes a really good cocktail sauce for, like, oysters and hot shell. And so we have our 5 flavors here now, and we can...
Well, let's open them up. Let's give them a taste.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea. And so what is classically in a fruit ketchup?
It's basically fruit, spices, and vinegar, and some sugar.
Okay. So how does that, like, differ? So if people, like, I don't understand, what's the difference between a jam, let's say?
That's a common question, is people automatically associate fruit with jam. But it's more savory than sweet. So you probably wouldn't want to put it on your waffles.
There's a fair amount of onion in it as well, which helps kind of...
I'll get it.
Oh, here, we got
toothpicks. Oh, who needs
toothpicks? Okay.
Here, I'll give this to Nick.
Thank you.
We'll take this.
Thank you very much.
So the mango is a popular flavor. So we've spent a good amount of time testing them out on our friends and family. And among them, mango is really popular. I feel like blueberry is my favorite, and I feel like blueberry is getting extra attention as of late.
Yeah, we really like the
blueberry. And are you working with seasonal products? How are you doing? How are you sourcing your product?
Wherever we can find it at a good price. You know, that's really our biggest challenge is getting our costs down. There's some spice in it. No, I think it's
the cherry.
Yeah. It's
you know, I hate to say this. I hate to sound like a radio matchmaker, but these would be great on Mike Isabella's sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
We went by there for the first time 2 weekends ago.
Yeah. Did you have the banh mi beast?
We did.
Did you really?
Yes.
Because we haven't had any
of you guys. Number one bestseller. They call them celebrity. I don't know what it is, but,
yeah,
but
guess, them, guess. We got it because it was yours.
Oh, my God. That's
our sandwich beat. Did I mention that we beat Scott Druneau?
I've mentioned that several times.
Yeah.
And Danny. We beat everybody. Our sandwich killed it. We're very excited. I mean, I wasn't feeling competitive, but you know.
Unbiasedly,
when Druneau laid down the law, I was like, dude. You just wait.
It was delicious. Nikki was rolling around in the middle of the night. We got to kick their ass.
No, but it's a good idea to find ways to link with other people in the restaurant community.
We really want to get into a lot of restaurants if we can. Mm-hmm.
So what's the business plan? What do you figure?
We want to start locally. In terms of distribution, we're still figuring that out. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a tasting with Whole Foods. We want to get into some market shelves and restaurants, really kind of, you know, just get it into people's mouths. Mm-hmm. And
So are you thinking of farmers markets and going that route?
Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you doing your self promotion and marketing on it?
We actually just recently are going to start at District Flea.
Oh,
which is a brand new market. Mm-hmm. Farmers markets, yes. And the thing is also the strategy is like, how are we presenting it? So probably maybe selling like hot dogs with it. But it does really well when we do events. So like my friend had an opening for a studio she has. And so we went and just sold it there and it was amazing. So, yeah.
Have you talked to Amanda at Salt and Sundry?
Not yet. We just had our first wholesales this week. So we're still really launching.
We'll put you together.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. Yeah. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're just going to wrap up a little bit. We're going to have some more drinks and we're going to learn about lunch.
They're going to eat all their chicken hot dogs.
Have a good time with that. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
In today's competitive job market, imagine not having the reading skills needed to even fill out an application. 90,000 adults in D.C. are considered functionally illiterate. It takes a lot for an adult to admit they can't read. It takes even more courage to do something about it. The Washington Literacy Center teaches adult learners to read, giving them options and a bright future. Please give back to the community by donating today. Go to WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org and make your much-needed charitable contribution. Changing lives through literacy. WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org. GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
And we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking to Matt and Corey Wallace, who have started a company called Chups. And it is basically fruit-based ketchups.
Fruit ketchup.
And they're dang good. We've been eating them during the break.
And do you think as you expand, as you roll out, will you look to incorporate more flavors or do other things? Do you have a grand master plan?
In terms of more flavors, usually the thinking is that you narrow it down to the ones that work best.
Sure.
But I'd like to keep the five that we have. And, you know, this can work with any number of fruits. So we're still experimenting and finding which ones work.
And where can people find you now?
Online.
Mm-hmm. Which www.chupsitup.com.
Chups it up.
Chups it up. Chups was taken when we.
Someone's squatting on chups.
Okay. We will kill them.
Yeah. That doesn't sound right when you say it. You know that.
Yeah.
Squatting on chups.
All right. That's what it is. I didn't name it that.
Sounds painful. Yeah, all right. Well, you should probably hook up with Gail Gand, who's going to be on in a couple of minutes, and she did a whole fabulous cookbook about lunch.
Right.
Where else would you put ketchups but on lunch?
Right. Absolutely. We can put some of it on there.
It is. We're like the matchmakers of radio.
Anyway, well, listen, best of luck. The product is delicious, and we'll look for you. Let us know when you're in farmers markets, when you're in Whole Foods.
Oh, we are in Smucker Farm on 14th Street.
Okay, fantastic. That's a great place.
Yeah. And just to mention, we're having a launch party that you know, open to the public.
Is that at Union Kitchen?
It's going to be at Union Kitchen.
Union Kitchen.
June 26th.
Yeah.
All right. Well, send me that info, would you please? Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right. So let's go back and talk to pastry chef Robert Underwood and the Wilder brothers, the Wilder brothers about Red Light. So, chef, you know, you were at Comey, you were at Marcel's, which are two of, really.
You're like a name dropper.
Well, the leading restaurants in town. So how is what you're doing at Red Light?
I mean, everybody wants to say they work with Johnny Moniz.
I think that what's different, what's unique about what we're doing at Red Light is kind of the collaboration between the kitchen and the bar there. And mm-hmm. we have a couple of desserts that are inspired by beverages, by alcoholic beverages. So we have like black and tan donuts. It's basically, it's an beignet batter that's made with a pale ale. It's an English pale ale. And we top it with a chocolate and stout pudding. And that's made from Guinness.
So it's very. It sounds very dietetic.
It is very, yes. It's all calorie free.
Which you can see, really he's very concerned about.
Calorie free if you don't finish
the name
it.
Of that is called the Fat Butt.
Fat Butt Donut.
Yeah. Holy cow.
I will say that Robert's desserts are actually not fully loaded like with sugar, so that you can really appreciate all those.
Face to the mic, son.
So you can really appreciate all those the flavors that he plays with. And they're not washed out by the sweetness.
Well, that was going to be my question because, you know, sometimes, I mean, you guys are not known for sweet cocktails, but sometimes cocktails are really sweet. And mm-hmm. I don't know if a lot of people think about pairing a cocktail with a dessert. So how do you match it without being too sugary or sweet?
Well, we have a really wonderful Brooklyn-inspired egg cream cocktail inspired by the film The Big Lebowski, called The Dude.
Dude.
So we make a really awesome egg cream soda with vodka, really beautiful cognac, and dark rum, and it's paired with a variety of Robert's
cookies. Yeah. It comes on a plate with three different cookies that he brought in today.
All right,
And I think on the food side, one of the things that we do in the sweet kitchen there is we do tone down the sugar a little bit and sort of kick up the salt.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of
so
helps.
It
gives everything a little bit of a
tone
more
down
of a balance.
The sugar, you know?
And that's why. And that's also why we kind of wanted to add a lot of champagne and bubbly cocktails to the menu because the dry mineral aspects of them kind of tore away from, cut the sweetness a little bit. So the cocktails actually do, for the most part, do not incorporate food because we have another edible cocktail that's called the Cake Shake, which is made with our red velvet cupcakes, and then in house with it. And so there's like. There's a collaboration from the food with alcohol and from the cocktails with food. So
okay.
Smart.
All right. So what are you guys making next?
So the Peep Show we have here, which is like one of our
Marisa is laughing. She likes that.
Most popular cocktails. It's a bowl Genever with cucumber water, Pimm's, ginger, house-made ginger beer, and then burnt rosemary and lemon juice.
You know, the thing about your guys' cocktails is that they're so easy to make. I mean, anybody can just do it. You know, it doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah, we don't put any thought into it.
No thought whatsoever.
We just dream. That's all we do.
They're gorgeous.
Well, while you guys are getting that thing ready, Gail, are you there? Hello, Gail Gann.
Thank you.
Hello, how are you?
You're
morning.
There. So,
hello, chef. How are you this morning?
Our next guest, I guess if you look in the dictionary under the phrase Renaissance woman, you're probably going to see Gail Gann's face. She's a James Beard Award-winning chef. She's a cookbook author. She's co-founder of a huge restaurant in Chicago called True. She was host of Sweet Dreams on the Food Network.
Food.
I mean, I don't know. How do you have time to breathe, Gail? I guess that's the first question.
I've been busy. Yeah, I'm a busy girl.
You have been busy. So you're more, I guess, associated with desserts. Why lunch and a cookbook dedicated to it? What happened there?
Well, you know, I did a brunch book before this one, and now my new book is the lunch book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with brunch, it was kind of an easy transition because the ingredients are all the same as dessert. You know, what's the difference between bread pudding and strata? You know,
right.
Sugar or no sugar, really. And it was all, you know, cream and eggs and things I loved working with. So that was sort of an easy leap. And it was more about would people want to cook with me, not just bake with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the book one, it's in fourth printing right now. So that sort of told me, like, okay, I can come out of the cake box and, you know, be a savory cook as well. And then I worked at a farm for 2 years. I was a chef in residence at a historic organic farm outside of Chicago. And a
which
lot
farm
of,
was that? Which farm was that?
Called Elawa Farm.
Okay.
Elawa. It was it was owned by the Armour family like 100 years ago. It was their little weekend farm that they would retire to, but it's a historic landmark now, and it's open to the public. And so the photos in the lunch book are like when you see those photos of me and my daughter out mm-hmm. in the field. Those are the gardens over at Elawa Farm that I still teach at, and was chef in residence for 2 years.
So was that sort of helpful in putting together this lunch book? I mean, other than the gorgeous photos in your book, were you a big lunch eater? I mean, how did you get there?
Well, it's a little, you know, you can see that the book is kind of vegetable-centric. I think
mm-hmm.
it's very, you know, fresh and summery and a lot of produce in the book. But what happened for me was my family are all musicians. My dad's a jazz trumpet player. My brother's a blues guitarist, and his wife's a keyboard player. And they all work at night. And all my friends are chefs, or a lot of my friends are chefs. And so I found that I couldn't really have people over for dinner because they weren't available. They were working.
Mm-hmm.
So I started having over for lunch. And it was a great way to get together that wasn't quite as daunting as we call it the daunting dinner party, you know, which is goes on forever and people drink too much and they don't leave. And with lunch, as well as brunch, it's midday. You
mm-hmm.
know, a room temperature pasta, a nice salad, maybe chilled glass of rosé, and that's a get together. And it's so much easier and just more pleasant, I think, than that dinner party where you've got to hire a sitter.
And then you can serve them a last course of get the hell out. I like that.
Well, but I also think for people that lunch is sort of a lost art, especially nowadays, you know, people, you know, if they're going to their offices, you know, they're grabbing something, they're getting something quick, and it's you know, empty calories. And you have lots of really good ideas to make lunch an actual proper meal.
Well,
it's sort of the neglected stepchild of all the three meal periods. And I go to France a lot because I am a pastry chef. And I think the French have it right. They, you know, put more emphasis on their midday meal and back off a little bit on that meal at the end of the day, which I think we could use a little bit of that in this country.
Yeah,
too.
But I'm going to say, because you said one of the things that had inspired you originally was how the Italians have that huge meal in the middle of the day.
And she just said the French, not
well, no,
the Italians.
Actually, she said the French, but in her literature, she said the Italians. Okay. Didn't you, Gail? Didn't you? Because I read. But here's the thing, because having lived in Italy, I mean, we would have these huge lunches, and I'd pass out for 2 hours.
He just wants to tell everybody again
that he lived in Italy. That's my next book, Gail Gann's Nap.
Gail Gann. I mean, that's the thing, because I'm at my
Siesta
office.
Siesta with Gail.
You know what, Gail? Have you noticed my wife can't stop talking? Anyways, that's the problem. If I'm at my desk and I'm working, it's true that I pretty much use one foot to step on the other and shove whatever, you know, goes into my mouth that opens. But the reality is that if you have a big meal at lunch, you get tired. You get sleepy. So what do we eat to get past that issue?
Well, a lot of the dishes in there you see are kind of light and fresh, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not heavy. One of the things I do with the recipes, too, is at the side, sort of on a little sidebar, I tell you what to pair it with if you want a packet to go, what to pair it with if you're having it at home, and what to pair it with to make it a party. So I understand that there's a lot of different kinds of lunches. You know, some people are packing them for kids, some for themselves, some are sitting down at home, some are doing a picnic or an outdoor lunch. So it's just, you know, using that midday as a way to get together versus at the end of the day. I also was part of Michelle Obama's Chefs Move to School initiative.
Mm-hmm.
I mentored Deerfield High School nearby me, and it happened to be where my son was starting that year. So I thought I could serve my country and spy on my son all at the same time.
How much lucky you.
Where is Deerfield High School? Is that Massachusetts?
No, she's in Chicago.
No,
oh, you're in
Chicago.
Right. Of course you are. Okay.
Right, so I spent a year mentoring that school, getting into the classroom and using food as a tool to teach physics, to teach French, to teach outdoor adventure. I was in the cafeteria doing Thai summer rolls with the kids, and they were making them themselves to learn other things they can make to pack in their lunches that are healthier for them, lighter mm-hmm. for them, that they have more control over, you know, the amount of salt or whatever it's in them because it's not processed food. I was in the PTO meetings teaching parents how to make stuff. So some of the recipes come from that experience as well.
That must have been an incredible experience. Did the school walk away with some of your, like, are they incorporating some of the things that you brought to the table?
They did. The most challenging part of the whole thing was, of course, dealing with the lunch lady who'd been there for 25 years and knows everything. For all the chefs, I think that was the most challenging experience, is getting them to, you know, have a fryer-free Friday or, you know, changing up some of the food.
So whole wheat pizza crust, things of that nature.
Right, and, you know, less processed baked stuff, less fried stuff, more fresh fruits, more salads, more vegetables.
A question about your recipes. Are these all things that you just cooked up in the kitchen? Did friends contribute? How did these all come about?
There are some friend contributions, which I mentioned them in the acknowledgments. But while I was working at the farm, at Eloah Farm, you know, we'd be coming up with stuff like the focaccia sticks that are rolled in parmesan. That's my friend. Her name's Connie Cinnamon. That's really her name.
I love her
name so bad.
She sounds like a sweet person.
My friend Michelle.
She could be spicy, too.
It's true.
Michelle Dahl, who's a gluten-free expert, she actually, the quinoa recipe in there is hers. It's so good. It's with cumin and tomato and cucumber. So a lot of times, you know, things are sort of stuff that friends and I are making together. My friend Janine, who's gluten-free, dairy-free, vegetarian, she helped me with a lot of the grains.
So she's a pain in the neck to cook for.
She sounds like she's fun-free.
No, you know what? You know what? When I have someone I love who has those restrictions, then it's meaningful to me to work on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times in demos, people ask, how do I make this sugar free? I'm like, you know, till I have a friend who needs to be sugar free, my heart's not in it.
Right.
So it really helps my heart be in it when it's, you know, a close friend. I actually, it's like being able to do something nice for your kid, and that feels really good.
Chef, we have to take a quick break. Do you mind if we put you on hold just for a second? And when we come back, we'll talk about where we can find the book and where you'll be pushing it and all that kind of good stuff.
That sounds great.
Okay, great. We'll be back in just a sec. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I see champagne, lots of it, in my future.
You better not have any. You said champagne.
We'll be back in just a second.
It's been called magical, powerful, revealing, and truly special. I'm referring to the GI Film Festival, also known as Sundance for the Troops, and it's coming to the D.C. area May 19th through the 25th. This event features red carpet movie premieres, world-class parties, award shows, and so much more. So join Hollywood stars Gary Sinise, Adam Driver, and Ricky Schroeder as we celebrate the heroes of the U.S. military on screen and on stage. Visit GIFilmFestival.com today and buy your tickets. GIFilmFestival.com.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
The American Veterans Center invites you to attend the 2014 National Memorial Day Parade, Monday, May 26th at 2 p.m. along Constitution Avenue. Join thousands as we honor the sacrifices of our military from the American Revolution to today, featuring musical performances, marching bands, celebrities, and active duty personnel, all made possible with support from Strayer University, Wells Fargo, and visitmyrtlebeach.com. To learn more about how you can see the parade, visit nationalmemorialdayparade.com.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking to Gail Gand about jazzing up lunch. Gail, I guess, you know, we talked about the book. Let's quick talk about whether or not you're going to be around here for any book tours, signings, anything like that. Are you on the road for this?
I'm out on the road, but I'm doing a lot of radio. Book tour is sort of radio right now.
Well, I'm sure we've ruined your radio experience for everybody else, because once you've done this, what the hell?
Right? You're in Washington?
Yes. We are in D.C.
I'm usually there every Christmas because I have family in the area. My my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, Vinny and Laura Sedita, live in Falls Church. Oh. So I'll come see you guys around Christmas.
That was a subtle shout-out to Vinny and Laura. That was nicely done.
Yeah, how'd you like that?
So
my niece and nephew are like, why didn't you say hi to us?
It's our shout-out.
So, Gail, where can people find you now?
Well, I live outside of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm, you know, centered out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach at Ellawa Farm, which I mentioned is in Lake Forest, Illinois. So I have hands-on cooking classes there. I also just opened a new restaurant in Chicago. It's called Spritz Burger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a burger joint with craft cocktails that we spritz at the table.
Nice.
Okay, she's doing Spritz cocktails, gentlemen. Cocktail men in my room.
We better get on it.
And they're like, okay, we're copying that.
Yes.
It's the highest form of compliment. So we've got about a minute left, Gail. Quick question about True. Are you still involved there at all?
No, I'm still partner True, but I don't have any day-to-day responsibilities there. It's 15 years old now, and it needs me about as much as a 15-year-old thinks it needs its mother. So I spend my days. I'm at Spritz Burger in the kitchen there. My artisanal root beer, my cinnamon ginger vanilla-flavored root beer is on tap there, and then we also do all kinds of craft sodas right at the table. And it's on Broadway, just south of Irving Park in Chicago.
Cool. Another reason to go back to Chicago.
We know where it is. All right, so, Gail, I want to thank you. The book is called Gail Gann's Lunch. I'm going to say it's on Amazon. It's probably in every bookstore in America. Good guess?
Yep.
All right, yep.
Thanks.
Cool.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay.
All right, Gail, bye. Okay. All right, back to the thieving Wilder brothers real quick. So, well, you guys would look good in jail. But it's one of the questions I have for you because, you know, you've been on a lot and you've curated.
Have you ever been in jail?
Have I? Yes, once. No fun.
So have I.
No fun. Yeah, Nikki got arrested, too.
I got arrested, too.
That's where we met. We were in the same cell, and romance blossomed.
Co-ed prisons are really fun.
No, so you've curated a lot of bar programs around the city. How do you avoid just, you know, like, repeating yourselves?
We every program we do based on the food and the concept of the actual restaurant. This being one of our first that we are a part of from the ownership side, we were able to develop the concept and vision with Chef and our partners at Red Light to be something that would be completely new and unique. And we haven't really done any of these cocktails before. They were really honestly just we created them for this concept only.
Yeah, there are a lot of 1940s Brooklyn-inspired cocktails. We're doing a lot of snow cones, Riverstone slushes.
Yeah, I saw that.
And since we named it Red Light after the Red Light area that used to be on 14th Street.
You can say district. It's okay.
Yes, thank you. And we've done a lot of cocktail competitions in Amsterdam, so we've done a lot of Amsterdam-inspired cocktails as well. Like that's why we use Bols Genever in our Peep Show and stuff like that. No, I know you've been to the Red Light.
I have. I went shopping. I went shopping there once.
That's where Wife Number Two came from.
He's playing hard to get.
You know, actually, her children could be listening. Let's not say that.
We're also
cat fight on the radio.
We're also reverting to we're at 1940s. We're going back to the 1920s with Chaplin, which we're opening up in a month and a half.
Oh, where?
On 9th and P across from O Street Market.
Great.
It's all black and white. I'll be wearing white face. And
he's going to powder his face.
And all kinds of cool stuff.
Cool. All right. Do you want to tell us what this is?
So this is the Street Corner Girl. It's an aged Atlantica rum with a Mexican coconut liqueur, fresh pressed pineapple, and champagne. And we just finish it with the Peychaud's bitters and a toasted coconut rim.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you. Hi.
All right. So let's talk about the fine arts, shall we?
Let's get cultural.
I'm going to get my deep fine arts voice on.
Okay, go ahead. You do that.
So the Friday, May 16th, the Northern Virginia Fine Arts Festival kicks off in Reston, Virginia. Holly McCulloch, who is the, what are you? You're the executive director of the Reston Greater Arts Center. See, I had it right there.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, I got all my notes are right here. So tell us about this. You've got over 200 juried artists, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Does that mean they've all been on a jury? What does that mean?
What that means is we had
outside professionals actually jury the entries. So we get about 800 to 1,000 every year, and we take a couple of hundred of those who were selected by the professional jury to exhibit in Reston, and we bring them to Reston.
Are they all set up in like outdoor booths?
They are. They're in outdoor booths. It's an outdoor festival. It's top ranked. It's in the top 25 festivals in the nation for outdoor festivals.
Okay.
And it's one of the bigger ones.
Well, can you talk about the kind of artists that people can find there and sort of how it's set up and how people can view the art and things of that nature?
Well, it basically takes over Reston Town Center. So if you've been there, you know, it's a wonderful outdoor pedestrian space, and the booths line the streets throughout Town Center.
I thought you said booze. I was like, the booze?
Well, I have had a couple of cocktails, so hopefully, hopefully
actually,
that was
we're
clear.
Interviewing Holly while she lies on the floor.
I want your job, actually.
I know. It's not so bad, is it?
So, yeah, but you'd have to be married to me, baby.
Yeah. And, you know.
But in any case, there are artists who represent 16 different disciplines, actually. So we do everything from the traditional fine arts, so painting, photography, printmaking, to artists who work with leather, artists who do glass, fine craft, furniture.
Is there jewelry? Or
there's lots of
jewelry.
Fantastic jewelry, actually. Yeah, the festival is very strong in jewelry.
You had to say that, didn't you?
I did. Sorry.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Like, it matters.
What about other stuff? Is there food and music? I mean, do you wrap stuff around it?
Right, yeah. There are this year street performers, buskers, who are going to be throughout the festival.
What's a busker?
What is a busker?
A busker is like a person that you would run into on a street. You know, someone who is in the subway or on the street corner playing acoustical guitar or bluegrass or whatever it might be. We have different styles of busker musicians.
So do people have to audition for this?
Actually, our partner, the Reston Community Center, has sponsored this part, so they have vetted all of our performers.
So you're taking no responsibility.
I'm taking no responsibility.
Okay. So when Mickey walks by the guy playing guitar, he won't go, hey, baby.
Yeah, I can't promise that.
All right.
And so let's talk about the artists that are participating. Mm-hmm. How do you go about selecting them? What's the process? I mean, and because there are festivals like this around, and they do some, you know, travel. How do you decide who's in and who's out?
Well, the jurors that we hire for this process actually determine that, and we review their decisions as well. Mm-hmm. But basically, we go through, they send us images, and they send us a resume, and the jurors plow through with all of that and make sure that we have qualified artists and a great mix of artists so that we have a really diverse, powerful festival.
How many submissions do you normally get?
800 to 1,000 people.
Wow. And you only pick 200.
Yeah.
So it's very selective.
So, it is very selective.
And so this is not just for adults though, right? This is a very family oriented
day. It's very family friendly. We have kid-focused entertainment, not only in our children's art tent where kids can come and make various art-related projects, but we also, some of the festival entertainment involves unicycle lady, juggler, you know, kid-friendly entertainment throughout.
Does that count as being a busker?
I think it does. I think it qualifies
under the busker.
That's
my husband's
new favorite. I like that word.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? They taught me that word, too, so. It's all a learning experience.
What is Steaming Along Together? What is
that? So the Children's Art Tent this year has an art and science, arts meets science theme.
Okay.
And it's focused on how art and science can work together, and the kids are making projects related to that. So
Neat.
They're doing mobiles and spinny tops and things that involve, you know, kinetic energy and all kinds of science-related concepts as applied to art.
Oh, that's a really fun idea. Where did that come from?
Well, there's a whole movement abroad now you may have heard of STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, which is a big thing in the schools now. A lot of us are really interested in putting art back in that equation and making that STEAM.
Oh, that's where the A and STEAM
That's
came.
Where
I
the STEAM
it.
Is. It's about art. So we're sort of introducing that on the festival level with our project.
I'm still hung up on
good.
Buffer.
Actually, our kids' elementary school has an arts integration program.
Fantastic.
So math, science, social studies, English, all the courses, and Italian, they take Italian. All the courses integrate arts into each subject. And it's really fantastic.
It's very progressive. And the arts are a great vehicle for exploring these other
disciplines. It's a public school.
Yeah, well, congratulations to that very progressive school.
I know. It's really, I feel very fortunate.
I've been to the festival, and the thing that I liked was I think probably the jurors do this on purpose. It's the diversity of, it's not just, you know, painter after painter after painter with a different sort of style and vision.
Right.
It's basically three-dimensional art and two-dimensional art. It's a lot of fun.
There's something for everyone. You know, with that many artists and that the diversity of media, as you mentioned, everyone can find something that they are really attracted to.
So for people who are really into the arts community, are there some big-name artists that are going to be there that we should be on the lookout for?
You know, I don't know that that I would say big-name artists in the sense that everyone is going to recognize the name. I think it's more about discovery because people come from as far as California, Washington State, Arizona.
I heard Irving Picasso was going to be.
No Picasso. I got to be honest. But but there are really great artists that you will discover in visiting the festival. And we did extend the hours this year. So Saturday will go from 10 to 8 o'clock and Sunday from 10 to 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So people have more time to visit us.
Okay, terrific. And tell people where they can find you online. And where they can find out all the information, how they buy tickets and everything.
Okay, so the festival is sponsored by the Greater Reston Arts Center, a nonprofit in Reston. So they can go to our website, which is www.restonarts.org.
Now, last question. What happens if it rains? Goes rain or shine?
It's rain or shine. It's not going to rain. We ordered good weather, so it's going to be great.
It's not happening.
No.
You have spoken to the Lord.
Okay.
And Sue Palka, right.
Okay, thank you so much for
coming. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. All right, Mike. Chef Mike, come up to the mic.
Yep.
Mike Freeman.
That's me.
He's in the house.
From Red Hen. So a year ago, and I think we ate there very close to the opening, you and Sebastian Zouton.
We did. We ate there on my birthday last year.
Came out of Proof, and you opened up Red Hen in Bloomingdale, and nobody had ever heard of Bloomingdale before. It was like, what?
Well,
what?
I know.
You
I know.
Hadn't heard of Bloomingdale before.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you'd heard of it.
I had heard of it.
A lot
New
of people
Jersey.
Had heard of Bloomingdale's. No, we got a lot of that. We got a lot of that in the beginning. Where in the store are you? Are you on the third floor next to gifts and accessories? No, we're not.
Do all women talk that way with that look? Wait a minute. Whoa. Are you channeling Jim Gaffigan? Is that you got a problem. So, but I mean, now, you know, it's a year later and it's considered one of the best restaurants in town. And you guys are killing it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're very excited. It was a very risky move at the beginning to go into a neighborhood that was a really true D.C. neighborhood. No restaurants had really developed there yet. And we found a space that had been vacant for 40 years, had no floor, no ceiling, and we built it out. And, you know, in the year that we've been there, it seemed to really have gained a huge following. So we're really, really excited.
We've had a couple of meals there that I mean, it feels, you know, not to drop a name. We had dinner there with a couple people and Tommy McFly and all that. And we all, I mean, everybody was like, this is like being
in
Italy.
You are dropping names. That's very name dropping.
Oh, did I say Tommy McFly?
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Tommy. No, but I mean, it was like being in Italy. It was fabulous.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Amazing.
That means a lot to me because I'm not even Italian.
Hey, you're a
Mike
nice Jewish
Mike.
Hey,
okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about sort of the challenges of opening up a restaurant in a new area and what you thought it was going to be.
Sure.
And how it wound up being. And then for those people who can't get in because you have a two-hour wait on Saturday nights, maybe you can talk about the kind of food that you're serving.
No doubt about it.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
If you're a fan of great military movies like Saving Private Ryan and Lone Survivor, then you will love the GI Film Festival coming to the D.C. area May 19th through the 25th. GIF is Sundance for the Troops, where Hollywood and the military come together to screen incredible new movies, host parties and awards, and more. Plus, GIF is the only place where you can walk the red carpet with real military heroes and Hollywood stars like Gary Sinise, Ricky Schroeder, and Adam Driver. So don't wait. Get your tickets today at GIFilmFestival.com. That's GIFilmFestival.com.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide.
with hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking Red Hen with Mike Friedman. What's the matter with you, boy?
I don't know. You got all these drinks around.
This is radio. They can't see it. Yeah, it's theater of the mind. The deck here is covered with drinks, and Mike's pouring them on his head.
I am.
So what's next for
getting
Red
in my
Hen?
Dress. What's next for the Red Hen?
I mean, you know,
not what's next. We're not at what's next. We're talking about what it is. Let's talk about the kind of food there and what he's serving and what it was like and the last year. You're jumping ahead.
You see what my life is like? She's so bossy.
I am bossy.
God in heaven.
But she's not like my wife, who I love incredibly.
Well, you just rolled me under the bus.
Yeah, I love you, Ashley.
All right, well, don't worry. We'll edit that out. So talk the profile of the menu. Go ahead.
Sure. No, we are, the spiel is we're an Italian-inspired American restaurant utilizing mid-Atlantic ingredients. So, in terms of opening a new restaurant, for me, a first-time chef, it was very interesting to see how the menu developed. It certainly developed in ways that I didn't think it would. A lot of the pull that
he didn't
I get...
think he could cook.
That's not funny.
Hey, I got you. But a bing.
Yeah, hey. The funny thing is, a lot of the dishes that are born are born out of memory for me, and I didn't really think that would happen. Mm-hmm. I grew up in New Jersey in an Italian community, but I grew up in a Jewish home. So a lot of the food
are conflicted.
It's terrible.
What am I this? It's what terrible. Am I that?
Yeah, I'm sneaking salami
into
my room
at night. Gefilte fish? You putting gefilte fish on the menu?
Whoa. You're doing what?
That came out wrong. That came out wrong.
Now, I
love
pork.
What?
I just
That's what I'm
say.
Trying to say.
I've done a lot of bad stuff, but I never did that. No,
it was a troubled childhood. it really has this Jewish inflection to a certain extent, but, you know, my love affair with Italian food is still really throughout that. And my father is from the Bronx, so he really took me to a lot of Italian restaurants in New York City growing up and in Jersey and all those red checkered tablecloth restaurants. That food really comes through, I think, in the menu at Red Hen. So it's very, very interesting to see that and how that developed.
I totally disagree with you.
I appreciate that.
I do not feel like, your food is so refined. It does not have that red checkered feel. I mean, it's not a fancy restaurant, but your food is, what comes on your plate is not thrown together. It's well thought out.
Right. And I'm not saying that I just kind of throw it out from my memory. I mean, there are ideas that are born from a memory. Like, let's say there's a great chickpea and lentil salad with a smoked mozzarella, finocchietta, which is a fennel studded sausage, and an oregano vinaigrette. And that dish was really born out of the idea of loving those antipasta salads that you used to get at restaurants that had all those big chunks of mozzarella and, like, you know, obscure salamis.
And, like, dried oregano.
Those, like, pepperoncinis. And it was that flavor profile was born out of that. From there, we took what was seasonal, so there are pea shoots and spring onions throughout that. And then I love salads that have grains in them and not so much lettuces. Yeah. So myself, my chef de cuisine, we really think about how we can take an idea like that and morph it into something that makes sense at the Red Hen.
So modernize it.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes more sense to me. Okay.
And this all comes from sneaking salamis?
Yeah. I mean, mostly. And getting hit.
This is like the abused pervert hour, right?
I'm here all week.
Let's talk about, like, you brought in donuts today.
Sure.
You said this is something you're playing with.
Buddy.
Do you want to tell us why?
In the fall, we did cider donuts. Okay, so I mean, in the farms around New Jersey, and there are farms in New Jersey. For people that only have flown
donuts,
into Newark, it usually looks like purgatory. But there are farms that are surrounding the New Jersey area. We have great, great farmland, great tomatoes, great eggplant, great apples.
Right.
So we did cider donuts with apple cider sorbet. In the fall, and I kind of wanted to do an update here. So at the Red Hen, we're working on...
This is olive oil in it?
Yeah. So we're working on an lemon and olive oil donut with blueberry gelato.
All right. I don't want you to get a swelled head, but this is delicious.
Thank you. Yeah.
Super light.
We're not trying to jump the donut train by any means in terms of, jumping on that fad, but we wanted to take something that that is very youthful and fun, you know, and people can relate to it. And again, I want to create food that people at some point, they you hit a memory, you hit a chord. And I feel like everybody at some point in their lives has eaten a donut or has a memory of, you know, at least
And lemon and blueberry.
Yeah, I mean, right, like that concept. That real great seasonality.
The other thing you guys achieved, though, is, you know, if you serve that food, it depends on the context that you're, you know, the physical context.
Sure.
The place is so homey and warm.
Yeah, we really tried to achieve an atmosphere where people felt good. You know, I mean, the original concept of the Red Hen, when myself and Sebastian and Mike got together, my business partners, we wanted a restaurant. We didn't want a theme. We didn't want, you know, a concept that was really definitive. We wanted a place that people could go to and come at three or four times a week and enjoy a meal, and the menu would change and it would be seasonal and people could have fun and someone could walk in and I could say, you know, hey, David, great to see you. It's been a while. What's going on?
Last time I was there, you didn't say that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were yelling at me.
No, actually, what you said, do you want to know what you said to us? You said you guys ordered an awful lot of food.
Well, you did. It was amazing.
Don't spend so much money. Yeah. You're a terrific businessman, by the way.
I don't handle the finances. I just handle the food.
Were you surprised at how popular you were so quickly?
You know, it's a nerve-wracking thing to open a restaurant. I lost a lot of hair, a lot of time.
Yeah, you can blame it on that. That's what's your excuse?
Yeah. Oh, she's pointing at her husband.
My excuse, excuse me, is one of the seven words you're not allowed to say. That's my excuse.
So combating or compounding the idea of never really owning our own restaurant, plus opening up in an area where is, you know, really off the beaten path. You know, we're not in that tourist spot in Penn Quarter. We're not in Georgetown. We're not in DuPont, those traditional restaurant settings.
Or 14th Street.
I heard a busload of tourists say, let's go to Bloomingdale.
Yeah. Really? I didn't see them. But it was amazing to see how busy we were. It was amazing to see how we've grown as a restaurant and how we've changed, and also how we've stayed the same, which is important too.
So, all right, so we only have 1 minute left with you.
Oh my God.
So,
Thank God.
But what's up in the future? What do you got? Any new plans? Anything you want to share?
You know
with
what?
Us?
We really want to make sure that the Red Hen is great. And stays great. We have a lot of plans for doing some fun events throughout the year. In terms of new restaurants, you know, expansion dilutes quality to a certain extent. So we want to make sure that we stay true to who we are at the restaurant and who we are as business people and who we are as creative minds. So
McDonald's made it work. Why not
I'm
you?
Sorry. Well, you know, I don't have the makeup that Ronald does, and nor the Jewish curly red hair. So, Ronald McDonald is Jewish. I don't know if you knew that.
McDonald.
Yeah. No, yeah.
McDonald Steinberg.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think you've been inhaling too much of that wood burning stove.
I don't even
what
feel it anymore.
And I'm not even sure it's wood.
I don't even feel it anymore.
All right. So let's tell everybody where Red Hen is and how to find you guys online.
Sure. Red Hen. We're at theredhendc.com, located at 1822 First Street Northwest, Washington D.C. Area is located in Bloomingdale, right off of Rhode Island Avenue. Come and see us 7 days a week, 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
Operators are on duty now.
Right,
Thank you very much.
Mike,
all right, we got literally 30 seconds for you. Real quick.
Well, Chef, tell us. Chef just put together a gorgeous dessert. Just tell us quickly what it is.
This is one of the desserts that's near and dear to my heart. It's a Mexican chocolate tart that we serve warm, and it comes with some cajeta gelato and a cajeta sauce.
Beautiful. And you also have a bunch of cookies.
We also have some of the cookies here that we're doing with the Dude, which is the egg cream that we have at the restaurant. So we have blueberry and white chocolate cookie.
Dude, sweet.
Peanut butter and jelly cookie and a chocolate and Brazil nut.
Nice.
Excellent. All right, guys, just give us a wrap up quickly of where we can find you and the whole thing. Online, street address, everything. Somebody.
Redlightdc.com. We're on the corner of 14th and R on Northwest.
Okay, and that's Washington, D.C. for you suburbanites. So, we got to wrap up the show. Everything you heard about on the show today, you can find on the list, areyouonit.com. Nikki's amazing website, where about 40,000 Washingtonians go to get their information
every
day.
That number increases an awful
I know, 5 million,
every
billion.
Every other week, you change
it. You can listen to her on WTOP Sundays at 11:50. That's 103.5 FM. And on Thursdays at what, 12:50?
12:10.
I don't know. It moves around. 12:10.
It doesn't.
And you can't listen to me anywhere except right here. And that's too bad for you.
Okay. Well, we want to thank all of our guests for coming in today. Andy, how much time do we have left? We have 1 minute. All right. Well, thank you, all of our guests, for coming in today. Yeah, it was a terrific show. We had a great time. Next week, we've got the New Zealanders in town. A whole bunch of New Zealand winemakers coming into town. They're
Good day, mate.
Pouring. Please don't do that. They'll be pouring wine all week. And they're going to be pouring in studio, too. Everybody, again, thanks for joining us today. And please have a delicious week. Okay.